Praise God. Well, looking at my notes, originally I was going to talk about Isaiah 51 and Galatians 3, verse 6 and 7. I went, man, this is good. This is going to tie in. This is about faith, about Abraham's faith, and that we have that faith in us. And, you know, I got up this morning and I went, I just don't have peace about preaching this. I mean, teaching about this. And so when I came into the living room, I put my notes out last night so I could work on them. It was on some notes I had started in August of last year. And you know, it's something, the Holy Spirit jumped on me and said, yeah, this is it. Preach on this. I went, okay, Lord. And so I started doing it. I started studying. I went, I don't want to preach this. This is rough. Do I have to? And I said, I better do it because I am sure this is what God wants. And those of you who have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Chapter 1. And just follow along with me. And one of my favorite verses is this one. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. I know, I'd like to, but yeah, we're going to talk about, verse 7, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And I stopped and thought about that. You know, that reminds me of the book of Acts. So if you want to, you can follow me to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to talk about one little verse in here, verse 8 of chapter 1. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And then that last part, I think they must left that out, or they just said, that must not be for us. And it basically says, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Because if you read the book of Acts, they stayed in the nation of Israel. They did not want to leave. They were happy to be there, and they thought, this is just for the Jews. But it also reminds me of another scripture in Revelation chapter 12. I'm sorry for the rabbit trail, but I just thought this is kind of neat how the Lord put this together, showed this to me. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And is that what you normally hear when you hear somebody say that? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until the death. You don't ever, very seldom hear them throw that in. And I look at that and I say, Lord, why do they leave that out? Is it because they fear death? Is it because that they have too many things they don't want to give up? Because to die to yourself, that's what every Christian's got to do. We all have to do that. But you know, we're not really going to preach about that tonight either. That was just a little rabbit trail that I liked. I just want to share that with you. And we're going to go down. Well, I'll just read it to you since you're already in the New Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, I'm going to take up and read, therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And I just read that verse, and it reminded me of the book of Acts, and it reminded me of what we just read, that if we're willing to lay down our lives, we don't have to fear what happens to us. God's going to take care of us. As long as we got His word to give out, it's going to be there for us. He's going to be there for us. So we don't have to be concerned about, Lord, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Put your trust in Him and let Him take care of it, because that's what He wants to do. And what we just read, does that remind you of Mark chapter 16, where like it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And it says, all these things will happen. People will be healed. You drink deadly things, it will not hurt you. Serpents may bite you, but they have no power over you. There'll be no harm to you. God will be with you. Now I want you to go to Jeremiah 34. It won't be such a big jump this time. And this is the heavy gravy train right here that God wanted me to share tonight. And I go, my goodness, Lord. Oh, verses, Jeremiah 34, verses 2 through 5. We're going to start with that first, but we're going to stay in this chapter for a little bit. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon. He shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to Babylon. Yet hear the words of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you, you shall not die by the sword. You shall die in peace, and in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings who were before you. So they shall burn incense for you and lament for you, saying, alas, Lord, for I have pronounced the words, says the Lord. And that's what would have happened to Zedekiah, but it did not quite happen that way. And we'll talk about that in a minute. In verse 8, it says, this word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slave, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. And in verse 10, it says basically that no one should keep them in bondage anymore. They obeyed and they let them go. But verse 11 states, but afterward they changed their minds and made the male and female servants return, whom they had set free, and brought them into subjection as male and female slaves. And the this upset the Lord a little bit. Verse 13, he says, this says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying at the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother who has been sold to him. When he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey me, nor incline their ear. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight, every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. And verse 17, therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his neighbor, everyone to his brother, and everyone to his neighbor, Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine, and I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. Isn't that an awful thing what happened? If you go on further and you read what happened to Zedekiah before he did end up going to Babylon, but he got to see every one of his sons killed, and then they plucked his eyes out. He went to Babylon, but he was blind, and I don't think he went in peace. That his soul was very disturbed. And I just want to share with you what the Lord showed me the last couple of days. And I was talking to this Hispanic man I work with. He's been in the United States since he's been about 3-4 years old, and he was sharing with me that you Americans, you do not have the American dream. But it's people that come from countries like mine, like Mexico, who come here, and they end up having the American dream because their lifestyle is much better. And I just let them talk, and I didn't say nothing about it because I was busy doing other things too. And I thought about that this weekend, and I went, that's not true. Because I grew up, my family was poor. We weren't the poorest people in our town, but there was a lot of things I never had, never saw. But God, if you come to know God, God can change all that situation to you. And of course, the American dream is to have the opportunity to better yourself. You can't do that in a lot of countries. There's a lot of countries, there's no opportunity. If you're not born in certain families, you have no opportunity for that. But here, you do have that. You can't achieve that. And it just, I'm going to go back Monday and I'm going to share that with him, what I just told you, that each one of us had that opportunity for that. And then May 19th, Thursday, there was a vote taken in the Senate, which was, I believe, a disgrace to our government. It was a vote to not allow federal contractors who had prejudice against companies or contractors that did not support gays and lesbian. If they discriminated against them, they were not going to receive taxpayer money anymore. And the vote almost went in favor of it. There were 6 or 7 Republicans at the last moment voted against it. And it lost by 1 vote. The Democrats came unglued. And I'm not trying to just pick on the Democrats. I'm considered this a disgrace for the House, for our present government. And this is, I do not like talking about this in the pulpit, but you got to realize the American Revolution only came about because 30, 40, 50 years before it happened, there were men that were talking, Whitfield, Wesley's, they were talking about this. I'm not trying to create a revolution, but trying to bring people back to God. What I was ashamed of when I heard it was the Democrats, after the vote, stood up and they started hollering, shame, shame, to the ones who changed their vote and voted against it. And then they started hollering and screaming about, this is going to follow you the rest of your career in politics. And then there was one, I'm not going to mention the person's name, you would know he or her, said, went showing a red card, which means do not vote. And this person was screaming, hollering, do not vote against the veterans' benefits that we're voting on next as a way to get back at the Republicans. And I looked at, I read that, and I went, I was shocked. I said, where is our government coming from? Where is our government going? This is, it's almost obscene. It's almost like watching a soap opera. And then one of the representatives that was in favor of the bill, he stood up and he said, in all fairness to the taxpayer, this bill should have been voted in. And I read that and I said, no. If you really would put this to the popular vote, to the people of the United States, this would not have passed, because this is nothing but another piece of hate literature. And I will say this right now, and I will always say it. I do not hate anybody that is gay, that is a lesbian. They are created in the image of God. They can sin, or they're a sinner just like I am. I will not point my finger at any of them and say they're going to hell because of their lifestyle. But I do not promote it, because I think it's wrong. And I believe change is coming in the United States. There is coming an awakening that will change the hearts and the lives of the people of the United States. And not only here, but in the world. And I just want to leave you with this thought. What price are you willing to pay for liberty? There are people out there that are willing to give up their liberty so the government will take care of them. Do you want that? Do you want government to control everything you do? Only you can do what the government tells you you can do? I don't. I enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country, and I don't ever want to see them leave or to be changed. I want to just say to you, are you willing to do what it takes? If God tells you to get up at a certain time and start praying for the United States, start praying for our government, are you willing to do it? If He tells you to fast and pray more, are you willing to do it? I believe the days are coming we will be brought to that standard. You look at what happened to the early church in the book of Acts. When persecution finally started, that's when the church got on fire. That's when it really got on fire. They had an all-night prayer meeting for Peter, and he was delivered out of that prison. Herod's armies, soldiers cannot keep him in that prison. Those chains could not keep him bound. He was set free. And I believe we're going to see that happen again here in the United States. But we got to remember one thing. It's not the revolution we're going to have. It's not with guns. And they're promoting guns and talking against them so much. The next revolution will be a revolution of love. I want to leave with you right now is that we have no altar here. But in your mind, in your spirit, imagine an altar that you can go to, that you can pray, you can go to the Lord. That's the secret place. And what does that say, Psalms 91, verse 1? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we're going. That's where we are, the only place we're going to have peace and contentment. I don't care if they throw me in prison. I don't care. If it will bring more souls to the kingdom of God, God's will be done. What price will you pay for liberty? Patrick Henry said, give me life or give me death. Lord, we just ask right now that what you have for us to do in the days ahead, I believe it would be a mighty work. It would be things that we cannot even imagine, because your hand will be upon us. Your word will just flow out from us like it's never has before. It will go forth and accomplish what you sent it to do. It will not return back to you void. Father, we ask, Father God, teach us, Lord, more of how to be obedient. Father God, what you show me Friday coming home from work speaks volumes to me, because I can so easily get upset when things don't work out the way I think it should when I'm driving. When there's somebody who's driving too slow, or they're driving too fast and dangerous, or just the car that's in front of me just poking along, Father God. None of that matters. In 10,000 years, I won't even remember that event. I won't even remember it next week. But I do remember the lesson I learned, Father God. And that is to have patience. And that is to keep my eyes on you. Keep them on the road too when I'm driving. But to always remember that love never fails. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.